Let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, what I want to talk about this morning right without ceasing. This is the thing that makes us what we are. If we're going to live for God, we've got to have a communication. We've got to have a life dedicated to God by prayer. And so consequently, he said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I'm thankful this morning that he's watching, looking, and knowing. But then it says his ears are open unto their prayers. So that today the devil will come along and say, the Lord not listening to you. He ain't hearing you pray, but he is. He's hearing everything you say, everything you think, everything that comes through your heart and mind. He knows all about it. And this morning you can pray and look to God. You can do it over and over and over. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and get started here. 6 and about 6 and 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, thy door, pray the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not the vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you ask him. But after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he's saying here, enter into thy closet. Now there's times that we're going to go to prayer and it ain't easy to pray. Devil fighting us all the way. But he's saying, enter into that closet. Now, is this a literal closet? No. This is shutting the world out from our heart, our mind, getting our mind centered in on the Word, getting our mind centered in on God, getting our mind saying, Lord, I need you. There's times you can pray real easy, or at least I can, and there's times it's not so easy. But the more we shut out, the better we can pray. We can get in that closet. Brother Lewis Kimball, I don't know how many of you knew him. He and I were just like that. We met and we stayed that way till he died. We had a absolute perfect relationship. And he told me, well, he preached it. He didn't tell me, but he preached it, that when he went to get saved, the Lord had been working and dealing and calling. He wasn't sure at first it was the Lord, but finally he came to the place. He said, I literally went into a literal closet. And he said, I shut the door and I fasted for 3 days and 3 nights and I prayed and I begged and I repented. I done everything I need to do. And when I come out of that closet, I was saved. Now, if you want to go into a lizard closet and pray, you can. But that's not totally what this is talking about. He wants you and I to get in the closet with our heart and our mind. Get in there and say, Lord, I need you. You don't have to pray saying words all the time. You can pray in your mind and your heart, pouring yourself out to God and saying, Lord, I need you. And Lord, have mercy on this one and that one. You can pray on the job. You can pray at home. You can pray flying. You can pray riding. You can pray anywhere at any time. You don't have to be open and everything. People don't even know what you're doing. And you're pouring your heart out to God. Yes. pray without ceasing. Lord wants you and I to, well, let me ask you this. If you go to have a relationship with somebody, the way you do that is to talk with them, visit with them, spend time with them. Have a relationship. It's the same thing with God. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to let him talk to you. Get in that closet and let him feed you. Let him give you scripture. I mentioned my memory verse this morning. I was sitting down in a chair here. This has been a good while back. And sitting down about halfway down, that scripture come to mind. But then it said, my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The words, my help, stood out. He's talking to me, see. He's giving me something out of heaven. He's giving me something that can encourage me now on down the road. He can do things. He can give scriptures you can read. You can read the whole Bible and know it. And he can break every scripture, different ways of meanings to you and I as we pray and we read. Lord, I don't understand it. And he can help us to know what he's talking about. Yes. He wrote it. No matter how we got a B.A. or A.B. or whatever, in school or in college or whatever, straight A's. The bottom line is the Lord knows this word of God because he wrote it. He knows how to feed you with one scripture over and over and over. Sister Margaret Eck was sitting in the Monarch meeting one time. It's been a number of years ago. And she had been sick. She had been having physical problems. And so the preacher was up preaching and said, the Lord give her that scripture. It said, and he sent his word and he healed them. Said she got a hold of that sitting right there and said, God healed her just like that. Just took it in. She accepted it. When the Lord gives us something, accept it. Say, thank you, Lord, and praise him and lift him up because he's given you something. He's taking time. Listen, folks, this is not a president or a king or a king. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, got all power in heaven and earth, and he wants to do something with you and I. He wants to help us and bless us and build us and lift us and encourage us and do things that nobody else can do, praise God. We've got a relationship with the one that created everything. Praise God. I tell you, I've been blessed and encouraged and inspired. The fact that he wants a relationship with us and that he wants to come down in services. I have preached a lot of messages to small crowds. I preached to hundreds in Monarch, but I preached to one person on the side of a mountain one time. I go to Shreveport, now I'm preaching two or three down there, plus us three. The bottom line, it's not the crowd, it's the Lord. Yes. Brother Marty said, this ain't about us, Carl, this is about him. It's about him, and we lift him up and we say, Lord, we need you. I don't know about you, but I like to pray, Lord, help us. Yes. We go to church, help us, Lord. One sister, one time in a certain place, walking across, she'd been listening to the radio that morning. And the man, the speaker on the deal was said, you need to pray for your pastor. Pray for him. And you go into service, pray that the Lord will bless him and so forth. And she walking around the deal, she eased up next to my wife. She said, you know, she told her what the guy said. And she said, I never thought to do that. Well, we got to do that. We need him. I'm glad you all are here, but the main one here's got to be Jesus. Yes. He's the one that makes this thing alive. He's the one that pours it on because of his power and his glory of coming down and blessing us, doing things. You can listen to a message and you can feast on that message for days at a time. Pray without ceasing. I'm trying to stay on my subject, but Lord, have your way. Let's see, Luke 6:12. I think I called that one. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now then, at Mark 1:35, now the bottom line is Jesus prayed too. It just wasn't, he didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. It said, in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place, quiet place, and there he prayed. It didn't say closet here, so to speak, but he went to a place where there was no distractions, and he poured out his heart to God. He's fixing to name his disciples. He's fixing to call them and work with them. He's fixing to start the whole church of God, so to speak, and he wants to be sure he gets everyone just right. So what does he do? He goes out and he spends all night in prayer. Father, help me to do the right thing. I want to be the right. I want to select. I want to choose the ones that's going to be exactly the ones you want. And also with Judas involved in that. The one that betrayed him. The one that turned on him. The one that sold him out, so to speak. But that was part of the plan. He had to choose everyone. Listen, folks, today, no matter what we do, where we go, we need God leading our lives. We need him to help us to know what to do, where to go, and how to do. He needs, like the light, talking about the light. Now then, if you took these lights and put them on the floor, how bright would they be? This room would not be near as bright with the lights down. That's why it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Said you don't put it under a bed or you don't do this. You put it up where it can be seen. Listen, folks, when they build houses, they put the lights up here, not down there. Because they can see, they can brighten a room, they can do things that lights just down cannot do. Well, the Lord this morning wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a light by letting people know that we're praying. It means something to people you tell them you're praying for them. It means something. All right, let's go to Psalm 55 and 17. Psalm 55 and 17. Pray without ceasing. I'll get to that scripture in a minute. Just hold tight now. 55 and 17 says, in evening and morning and noon will I pray. I'll cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now then, under the old law, I guess you'd say, back there in the old time, they had prayer scheduled three times a day. And they prayed three times a day. But the Lord, in the way that he set it up now, has got it set, like I said, where we can pray all the time. We don't just have maybe a scheduled time. Now, Molly and I, most every night, has worship together, and that's prayer. And usually the ones that we're praying for, most generally, not 100 per well, pretty well, is the sick and afflicted. We're reaching out. We're begging God to heal. Sister Vicky's going on out. Sister Janine's going on out. I don't know why the Lord has chosen all of a sudden to take several with cancer. Jeannie Sammons, have you heard about her? She's got cancer too. But the Lord knows what he's doing, but that should not discourage us from praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, and here's my scripture, said, pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, but pray without ceasing. The more we pray, the better, the closer we are. Letting God know that we love you, Lord, and we want you to help us. We need you. Yes, that sister, she said, well, I never thought about doing that. I just didn't know that. I don't know where she had been in all my preaching and teaching. She must have missed something somewhere. But the bottom line is, we can have a chapel so full and know Jesus, or we can have a chapel half full with Jesus, and that'll be your best deal. In Myrtle, Missouri, several years ago, they had a fall singing on Saturday night, all day meeting on Sunday. And it had been established for a long time. And so one fall, that time for the weekend, and so they said when it come time for singing, there wasn't no minister there. They had singers, and they got up, and they'd done exactly what, you know, we're going to sing. So people started singing, and they thought, well, minister will drive in Sunday morning. There wasn't no minister Sunday morning. But they said the Lord so blessed, that's one of the best weekends they'd ever had. He was there, see? He was there. People was praying. God. Listen, folks, Jesus can out-preach any of us. He was a preacher. He knew what he was doing. He knew what to say. He knew where to go. He done the things that God and him led and worked and guided so that he would be in the right place at the right time. There was a minister one time. The Lord told him, I want you to go to a certain chapel. Now, I don't know if he had ever been to this chapel or not, but he knew where it was. So he went there on Sunday morning. And he walked in, and there wasn't a soul in there. And he said, well, Lord, there's nobody here. There ain't no use of me praying. He said, or preaching. He said, I want you to get in that pulpit and preach. I've given you a message. I want you to deliver it. Now, I'm talking about, I'll have to agree, preachers like to have people in the pews. But he got up there and he delivered that message, exactly what God gave him. He'd been praying. He'd been maybe fasting and looking to God. And God said, I want you to deliver that word. And he did. And a few months later, he ran into a man at a camp meeting. And a man said, you remember that Sunday that you come by that church and preach? Yeah. Said, there wasn't nobody there? Yeah. He said, but I was there. I was hid, and you never knew it. And after that message, I got saved. Now, listen, folks, that's God. God knew that man was there. We looked around. He said, there wasn't nobody here. Lord, why do you want me in here? He said, I want you to preach, child, preach. And he did, and somebody got saved. One person, but that's better than none. Yes. Thank the Lord. Lord, help us to have a prayer regimen, to have a prayer time. Looking to God. Let's go to James 5 and 13 through 16. 5, 13 here. Is any among you afflicted? What does it say? Let him pray. Any merry? Let him sing psalms. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, Brother Tony said one time, he said, there was something going on in the congregation, and I guess somebody had approached him with it when he was living in Green Bay. And he said, so he went to his dad, dear general, as I call him, the old general. And he said, Dad, here's the problem. And he laid it out. Him and Brother Mark talked about it. He said, we need to do something. Brother Salmon looked at him and said, son, we need to pray. No, Dad, we need to do something. Brother Salmon said, son, we need to pray. No, Dad, we got to do it. We got to do it right now. It's got to be done right now. We're going to pray. So they prayed. And guess what happened? The Lord worked it all out. I learned quick on in pastoral work that the best thing to do when people come to you and say, we got this problem, and so forth. We need to do this, need to do that. The first thing I say, we want to pray about it for a little while. Yes. And usually at the time that I said, I'll get back with you, let us pray. And usually time I get back, I say, well, they said, it's all taken care of now. Don't have to worry about it. That saves the pastor a lot of heartache. That works because God has done it, and God's better at doing things with handling problems than ministers are anyway, or the saints are. So consequently, pray. Brother Sam said, pray, son, pray. And Brother Tony said, you know what? I heard him preach this in the pulpit, I think in Guthrie. He said, guess what? He said, I found out Dad was right. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Pour our hearts out. The more you pray, the better everything is going to be overall. We've got a nation that's in a mess, has been for a long time, and the only thing that's going to bring it out of that is prayer, fasting, seeking God. He says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. It lays it out right here, lines it out, however you want to say it. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Yes. Last night, my daughter got in great pain. So she sent me a text and said, I need prayer. At that point, of course, she didn't know what it was. She thought maybe it was her gallbladder, but she wasn't for sure at that time. So she said, I texted her back and forth. And I just called her. I said, where are you at? What you doing? Where are you going? So she told me about what I guessed, but I wasn't for sure. But the bottom line is, the girls learned years ago prayer works. They seen God answer prayer for mom and for dad. They seen that happen. So is any afflicted? It said, pray.
Yes.
Is any merry? Let him sing songs. I'm shout, praise God. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, today the whole thing hinges back on prayer. Yeah. If we're sick, we're afflicted, we got problems, whatever it might be. This had been years ago before I was ever married the first time. And I can't remember what happened. But I done something. Somebody hurt me, I guess it was. And I was coming home and I was pretty crushed. And probably a good thing I don't remember what it was. So I come in my house and I went to my chair and I knelt down and I just bawled. I wept and I cried for quite a while. I couldn't say one word. I was too broke up. And when I got through, I believe the Lord let me know. I seen, I heard, I know. I've got it. Listen, folks, no matter how you pour your heart out to God, he knows and he understands. He's a gracious father. He's a loving father. He's a kind, gentle father. He knows exactly if we're pouring our hearts out to him. He knew what was hurting me. I couldn't even talk. I was so broke up. But he read my heart. He knew what was in here. He knew what was coming out. He knew what I wanted to say, and I couldn't say it. I'll take care of it, child. And I got up, and he started blessing. The tears went away. The load got lighter, and the blessings began to fall. Yes. Oh, the Lord knows how to help us when we need help. Yes. 50 and 15 of the good book of Psalms said, well, let's see. Offering God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Now, that's a message in itself right there. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Lord wants our testimonies. He wants us to let people know what he's done for us. He said, I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Let people know. I love to give. Tell what the Lord's done.
Yes.
That to me, it's not about me or Molly or Paige, like the wreck. I went totally out. I didn't see a thing. I didn't know nothing. And Molly was praying. And she said, we started leaving the road to the right. She said we was headed right for a guardrail. We had fixed to hit the end of it at 75 miles an hour. And she said, all of a sudden the car went to the right. Said it went to the right and it just shot right down the guardrail on the left. Said we was headed to two big old pillars that hold up an overpass. And she said we was headed straight at them. Said the car moved to the right. We shot right by those and we come out. And what made it flip end over end, I don't know that. My brother can't even figure that one out. I've got some ideas, but I don't know how right or wrong. It's God. I love to tell that, not because of the three of us that was involved, but the bottom line, God done something.
Yes.
That angel was in there. Brother Marty himself, he made the statement. He said, Brother Carl, there's no doubt Jesus was, or the angel was in there, and he was taking care of that. And he was. He was taking care of it. So he said here, and call upon me in the day of trouble. When you got troubles, tell him about it. Open up to him. Say, Lord, I've got some problems. I need your help. And I will what? I will deliver thee. And then thou shalt glorify me. It's all about him. This is what God done. I was a sinner. And I poured my heart out and I prayed and I begged and I pleaded. And God saved me and delivered me. He raised me up and now set my feet on a solid rock. He stabbed me and go and put a new song in my mouth. Even praise be unto God. Praise God. It was Jesus. It wasn't us. He said, I'll deliver him. And thou shalt glorify me. Oh, today, thank the Lord you and I can seek God. We can seek God and God can work. He wants to work. He wants to do things for his children. 12 and 12 of Romans. 12 12 and 12 of Romans. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Now again, to me, that's saying basically, pray without ceasing, continuing instantly. Sometimes there's things happen and we need to pray right now. And I've been in services. I've been there when a child would get sick or a person would get sick, and we'd literally stop service and we'd go to prayer. One time we was in a congregation in the South, Brother Egbert and I, and we were having a meeting, and something happened to one of the people, so we stopped service, and Brother Egbert, he kind of scooted over next to me, we wasn't too far apart, got over there, and he said, "You know what I think this is?" He said, "This is the devil trying to hinder this service." I said, "Yeah." And the way to get the devil out of the room is to pray. It's to look to God. It's to look to Him. Oh, today, rejoicing home, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. All right, let's go Matthew 18 and 19. I'm thankful today that we have, up until now, we can still gather together and we can have worship and we can pray and preach and sing and shout. And it's not prohibited by the law to do that. It has been in times way back there. All right, 18 and 19 of Matthew. "Again, I send to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now think about that. That if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. All right, 9 and 29 of Mark. Let's turn there and tie that with this scripture. 9 and 29. "And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now there's times we got to do some fasting. But he's saying here, another scripture that's one of my favorites, and I quote it a lot. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Said, ask and it shall be. What did we do when we were children? Did you ever ask daddy for anything? Mama for anything? Maybe big brother? I was the oldest one of the family, not the biggest, but the oldest. And I learned that dad could be very giving, especially on vacation time. I want a soda pop. I want a candy bar, an ice cream bar. We're out traveling, and he'd get it to me a lot of times. But then I found out when the other four under me started asking, he gave to them too. Wasn't just me. It was all of us. "Daddy, I need you." Daddies are there to help the children, to protect the children, to encourage the children, to help them in any way, whether it be schoolwork or jobs or whatever. He's there to do that. Listen, this father here wants to do that. He said, "Ask and it shall be given. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything." Now, this is not a whole congregation. This is two people. What does it say? "If two or three are gathered together in my name," what? "There will I be in the midst of them too." Now, like I said, I preached to people, one person. Right now, I'm still preaching to two and three down in Shreveport. And that's fine. But it doesn't take a big number to get God to do something. It's a unity and the forthwith honor and love of ourselves toward God, opening up saying, "Lord, we need you." Just two or three. Call somebody on the phone. Sister Lane Otpus has a prayer line. There's about, I don't know, six of us on there, I guess. I really don't know if I'm absolutely on that. But yeah, about six of us. And there's many times that she calls and gets us to pray as a group, and the Lord worked. It's happened over and over and over. Sometimes just her and I don't know, I guess she's calling the others too, but she calls me quite a bit for prayer. And we will pray together. Molly and I, get her in there and get her doing it too. And praying together. And guess what? She'll call back and said, I got a praise report. This is what the Lord done. That's happened over and over and over. So, Lord, help us to work as a team. Yes. To work as a team. Whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Anything. Now, that don't limit us. Well, I need $1,000. Money's nothing to God. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the oil wells in Texas and Oklahoma. He owns anything. And there have been many times that a minister of the church of God, back mainly years ago, I don't know about, well, even now today. And the bottom line is we're getting, Lord, we need help financially. We need this. We start praying it out to God and laying it before him. And he answers sometimes in a way that'll leave you staggered. One brother went to a place one time to preach. And I had been there and I had the same treatment and drove hundreds of miles. And when they give the offering, they give a small offering. And when I say small, it was pretty small. And so he told me, he said, but my, I see, how did he put it? But my, anyway, his livelihood come from God. Mine does, yours does. And all of us, it comes from God. He said, we was outside and we was all fixed to go and said somebody slipped up and handed him a check. And when he opened it up later, it was for several hundred dollars. The other one was a fraction, a small fraction of that. But the bottom line is God answers. He can give anything to anybody at any time. Let's not limit God. Let's say, Lord, I need you. I need your help, Lord. Let's not limit him and think, well, he can't do it. No, he can do it too. He can do anything that we need him to do. Acts 12 and 1. Now this is where Peter's in the prison. And I'm not going to read all of it. I've got it down to read, but I'm not going to read it all to save time. But there's one scripture here, the 5th verse, 12 and 5. They'd apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Prayer without ceasing. You remember that situation in Africa where Sister Karen Slee caught, what is it, malaria? And she was a very sick young lady. Matter of fact, they brought her home. And there was young people, folks, that was having, they was keeping prayer going, and older ones too. We were keeping prayer going 24 hours a day. They brought her home. They was able to get her and get her home. She got a touch that she could get home. And she kept going down, 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 down. And one of the sisters that was there, I visited her, I don't know how many times, and visited them. Of course, I'd pastored them. And they said that she got down to the point, and as she was drawing basically her last breath, said it changed. Said it changed. Said God touched her right then and started bringing her out. What happened to Peter here? Why, prayer was being prayed, and behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. His chain fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Now listen, God's got any, how do I want to say that? In other words, he can use anything he wants to help us. Like I say, I think an angel was in our car that day to protect us, to keep us from being killed. And it destroyed the car pretty well. But our luggage and all was in pretty good shape overall. But the bottom line is, he's got the power to work with anything. They were praying. So the angel let him out of the deal, and he went up to a house. He knocked on the door, and Peter knocked on the door. This is 13 of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the door, the gate for gladness, but ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "Oh, Rhoda, you're mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go shew these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Oh, today, God got him out of there. They're praying without ceasing. Listen, folks, this thing, this works. Brother Isaac Chandler, I never knew the brother, but his sister died. And the Lord told him, said, "Don't take her to the funeral home." She died in the morning. He said, "I want you to fast." I don't know if he said fast and pray, but I want you to pray. So he told the people what they were going to do. And some of them just kind of, yeah, sure. But some stayed and they prayed. They prayed all day and they prayed into the evening. And that way, this woman is good and dead. Nobody say, "Well, she wasn't dead yet," but she was dead. She'd been dead for hours. And the Lord touched her and he raised her back to life. And when she come up out of that bed, there's people fleeing out every door of that house. They couldn't hardly, just like this right here, they couldn't hardly realize what had happened. Prayer changes things, saints. Prayer is what's going to help you and I to make heaven. Prayer is going to help us to do things. Prayer is going to be a blessing to people that you're praying and looking. You're that light and you're opening up and you're doing for God. And that's going to be a great blessing all around. All right, let's go to Matthew 9 and 38 here, and we'll be through here in a minute. Matthew 9 and 38. "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now then, let's go to Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. "Praying also always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all prayer. Thank you. And supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto you, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So he's saying here, "I want you to pray for me. I want you to hold me up," because he said that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and I may known the mystery of the gospel. Yes. All right, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. This will set us in with 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Said, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that enter that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now, I said pray for intercession, giving of thanks, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Listen, folks, God can work with those in authority. Whether it be right here, the leaders of the state of Oklahoma are going all the way up to the highest office in our land. The Lord can work. He can do things. He can change things. He can work into our, and there have been times that People have felt like the Lord had mercy and answered prayer on elections and give election that would help the people of that state or of the country down through the years. So the Lord wants us to pray and seek God. Pray without ceasing. All right, let's finish up Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And we'll be through here. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings, burnt sacrifices of fatlings. With the incense of rams, I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he had done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Oh, today, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Lord, help us. Like I said, you can pray in the heart and the mind. You don't have to be praying out loud and seeking God. Many times, I should know by now, but there are many times I've looked at my wife, and she's sitting there, and seemed like something's bothering her. And I go, well, I ask you, is something wrong? I think I say, is something wrong? She said, no, I'm praying. Well, that makes me feel good. I'm praying, Carl. That's what I'm doing. I'm praying. And so, Lord, help us to pray. To have an intercession prayer, intercessant prayer, and look into God. Don't be discouraged. This world is a mess. There's a lot of people getting killed. There's a lot of people doing this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is pray without ceasing. And he said, I will answer your prayers. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me.